Good morning, Chalvest and Caller Garden, Charleston Rise. It's Wednesday, the 20th of May, and this is Adrian Dale with a daily podcast. Now, I'm going to use today's podcast to answer a question posed by Pete Rawlings on Monday about why we don't have a children's play area. Wendy and Tricia commented that attempts have been made to create one in the past, and they reckon I might know the answers. And indeed I do. But to answer the question, I need to delve a little bit into our development history so that you can understand the background. Just bear with me, folks, and you'll understand more about how this village works. So when H was a young lad, this village had been unchanged since 1905, when Eastview on Raunds Road was built, along with Apry Cottage in Foot Lane. Prior to that, it was Pretoria Cottages, built in 1900. The rest of the village was largely farms and farm worker cottages, with a few shops, and not much had changed in many, many years. Nevertheless, with larger families, there were still enough children to fill the school, and a play area would certainly have been viable in those days if they'd been invented then. Sawyer's Crescent wasn't built until 1949 as council housing for local families. H's family had been waiting to be rehoused for 18 years before they were built. But no further expansion of the village then took place until 1963, when Hillside was built. And in the late 1960s, various private bungalows appeared. Meadowcroft on Raunds Road, Rivendell and Foot Lane, Greenacres and Wonkin Bolton Road. But even with these developments, the number of children in the village was declining rapidly. The school closed in 1967 because it just wasn't viable. A few more infill developments happened then, but nothing major until the new houses on Water Lane, then called Brook Lane, and the whole of Dutchy Close were developed in the late 1970s and early 1980s. And this was then followed by Britton Close and the three houses on either side of it. These were desirable but relatively expensive developments, and they were purchased largely by professional people, several without families at the time. So there were still very few children and no need for a play area. By the end of the late 1980s, many of these households had produced a family, and suddenly there was interest in the community again. The May Queen tradition was revived in 1986. Moms and Tots was started at the village hall. A youth club was formed with table tennis and badminton. Regular dances and events were held at the village hall, and lots of families wanted to come together. But inevitably, the children grew up and changed schools. Their interests were elsewhere. Community activities declined quickly as families focused externally. House prices were increasing, and Chelveston was very desirable. So young families just couldn't afford to move in. And even worse, no one was moving out, and so the residents of the relatively new housing were actually moving into their middle ages. Any houses becoming vacant were snapped up by young, double-income professional couples. Now, by the time we arrived in 1987, very little was going on. This was essentially a dormitory village with people working and entertaining themselves elsewhere. There were certainly no young children, just a few teenagers, and several of them being a little disruptive in their boredom. But then there was a baby boom starting in 1990 as young professionals like us hit their 30s. In the space of 6 years, over 30 children were born in Chelveston and Caldecott, my lads included. Suddenly we had a new community again. Moms and Tots thrived at the village hall. There were kiddies' parties and lots of play dates around each other's houses. And of course, the question of the play area surfaced very quickly, just as it has today once more. All the parents were looking for places to walk with their prams and to take young children. Now in 1993-94, a local landowner proposed the development of the Dutchy Field at the top of Dutchy Close. This would have included a new village hall and potentially a play area. But the catch was 30 to 40 new houses, which would have completely overshadowed the houses that many of these young professionals had forked out huge sums for. It would undoubtedly have changed the village forever, with such a large development coming in one hit. And so both old Chelveston and new Chelveston united against it. But in order to fight the development, we had to undertake a village appraisal. We needed to understand the demographics and what sort of amenities and housing that residents wanted. So we did a very detailed survey and analysis. Richard Thorncroft and I were in charge of doing it. The response rate was fantastic. 83% of households returned a questionnaire. and the data revealed some fascinating insights into the wants and needs of residents. Residents wanted a shop. They wanted a bus service. They wanted a play area and a circular walking route around the village. But unfortunately, wants and needs don't always agree. The shop closed in 1987 as it wasn't actually viable, and the existing limited bus service was gradually being withdrawn through lack of use. The reality was that almost every family in the village had two cars and they shopped elsewhere. The demographics were very interesting. There were only 31 children under 11 across the whole village, and it would have taken at least 5 years to fund and develop a play area. During this time, most of the kids would have grown too old to use it. And most surprisingly, the majority of residents said that they wouldn't be moving out of the village anyway, even when their kids grew older. So no new families would be moving in. But even more interesting was that in 10 years, over half of the residents would be retired or working from home. So it was very clear to the parish council that the emphasis needed to be on developing facilities for the active retired and not for toddlers and young children. They would certainly be in a minority if, in fact, there were any at all between 2010 and 2020. The high cost of a playground could not be justified. So instead, the council lobbied hard for a circular path from the end of Water Lane to Bidwell Lane. Unfortunately, only half of this got built due to budgetary problems at Northamptonshire County Council. However, fortunately, Ray Knight keeps the other half cut, and this allows young and old to do a circular village route in safety. And when the airfield was being sold, the council lobbied hard to get the ancient network of footpaths reopened before the sale. This succeeded, and we now have the best network of paths in Northamptonshire. And in 2010, the parish council established the new allotments behind Disborough Court, and this project nearly faltered at one point because of lack of funding. I was managing the development project at the time, and I'd just been fortunate enough to retire very early. I knew how important the allotments would be in the future, so I put in over £2,000 of my own money to ensure that we could get the project completed. So every time I see an allotment holder working their plot, I know this was the right decision. In 2010, we then re-established the village hall as an educational institute, providing classes and activities for the young and the old. And before lockdown, we were actually packed out. So looking back at our goals from 1994... I'm actually quite proud that we've delivered an environment that is great for the active retired as we intended at the time. But things have now moved on. The redevelopment of High Street, the building of Peter's Close, new residents in Dutchy Close and Pretoria Cottages have moved us to the next phase in our village history. But even more significant was the reopening of housing at Chelston Rise. This is a family-friendly settlement and it has permanently changed the demographic of the village. No longer will we go through phases of having no children. So now is time to reconsider the village priorities for the next 20 years. The old guard, the old duffers like me, have delivered what was needed for today. Now we need to plan for tomorrow. Big projects take a minimum of 5 years to deliver, so now is the time to start. There are two vacancies on the parish council and many opportunities for residents to contribute ideas as to what is needed. Back in 1994, I was not even a councillor, but I had the chance to get involved and shape the development of this village for the next quarter of a century. The results are here to see today. The allotments, the War Memorial, Disborough Court, Peter's Close, an extension to the village hall with a new car park and an amenity field. Now, I'm not bragging, folks. That's not me. That's not what I do. I didn't do any of this alone. I was part of a team of residents that took control of their own destiny. And that's the beauty of living in a village like ours. You actually have the power to make a difference. We now have a new generation of residents who through this emergency are keen to get involved and they've got great ideas. Some of the ideas might have been tried before, but to be honest, this time they might succeed. All that matters in my book is that residents know that they really can shape their own village. It takes time, it takes energy, and above all, determination and creativity. But the one thing we're not short of in this village is funding. We can find it. There are two vacancies on the parish council, and those vacancies are there for people who want to make a difference. If a play area is needed now and for the next 20 years, it can be delivered, but it will take vision and it will take hard work. So now it's over to you, because I'm just off to cut some grass. Thank you very much.